The Calcio Podcast, episode 118. Listeners, ciao, thanks for tuning in. This week, we will start off by discussing Atalanta's performance in the Champions League at the hands of Real Madrid as they go out of the competition. Very tough year for Italian teams in the Champions League. We'll discuss Marcos Portiello's performance and the goalkeeping situation at Atalanta. We resurrect a little story from a few years ago. We're going to talk about what happened with the Costa Concordia, kind of reflect back on what exactly happened there, how that played out, and where the captain is nowadays. Plus, we have a little development on the Luis Suarez story from several months back with Juve in his rumored transfer to Juventus from Atletico Madrid. If you recall, there was that whole debacle with the University in Perugia. Well, we have developments on the story, which we will be breaking to you live on the pod this week. We'll also talk about Drake's latest drop, a little review on that, plus the title race, Inter continuing to win games. We'll talk about who some of their key players have been and if Milan or Juve can catch them at all. I think Juve are the only team that have a chance of catching them, as we'll get into. I don't think it's likely. We'll get into some scenarios that could lead to it maybe happening, though it doesn't look good. Big win for Napoli the weekend over Milan, so that kind of put a little bit of a wrench in Milan's gears as they try to continue to mount a title challenge. So a full little breakdown of the title race here and what might have gone wrong for Milan. Plus, Zlatan is back in the national team for Sweden. We discuss a couple of players who are back in Serie A at new clubs who we didn't even necessarily realize. The Roma curse lives on as we jinx them once again. We'll discuss if Parma can maybe save themselves and stay up in Serie A at the end of the season. Plus, Nick gets mad at me and calls me a fool. You're not going to want to miss it. Listeners, sit back, relax, and enjoy this 118th episode now. Without further ado, let's get into the action. Pino, take it away. Bye. Let's go.
Però Catenazzo, che donna sei. Io delle donne non mi fido. Il corteggiamento è un rito. Troppo spesso si finisce che una donna ti tradisce. E non mi importa se son bionde, non mi importa se son more. A me basta che siano tonde e disposti a far l'amore. Da bambino veramente fui cacciato dalla scuola perché la professoressa mi faceva molto gola quando facevo il militare. Poi la moglie del tenente mi faceva le moine. Dio la presi tra la gente, perciò bambina, se sono qui per te stasera è una fortuna.
Andiamo! Let's go, Nick. Gentiletti, how are you, sir?
Doing well, Sam, on this Tuesday evening. How are you doing?
What's going on? What's going on? I'm all right. I'm well. Sam Adamo coming at you. Listeners, welcome to episode number 118 of the Calcio Podcast. I just inverted the sequence. Normally, it's Calcio Podcast, Sam Adamo coming at you. Yeah, fuck. I think I know why I'm all over the place. I'm experiencing a little medical emergency right now. I'm experiencing loss of blood. I'm hemorrhaging right now. I don't know if you can see, Nick. I'm gonna zoom it in real quick.
Oh yeah, it looks real. Oh man, that looks bad.
I was.
You're bleeding out.
I was giving myself a manicure before, and I just sort of nicked a cuticle on my right pinky finger.
And, oh man, poor you.
I've got tissue here. You know what?
Bleeding out.
You know what? It doesn't sound bad. And it's not.
It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look bad either.
Because you know why? Because I got it under wraps. It's not painful by any means either. It's not. But it's deceptively messy cutting a cuticle. If you've ever done it, you got a little tool for it. Maybe if we have any female listeners tuning in, unfortunately, we don't have any way of distinguishing the demographics of those who listen to us. We only know where they're listening to us from. But if there are any women that are listening to us, they could probably relate if they've ever tried to give themselves a manicure, particularly in the last year, if like, you know, spas were locked down where you are, where you're listening to us in the world. Yeah, it could be painful as shit. You bleed out really, really easily and quite profusely. You see, I'm getting a little bit more blood action right now.
Thank you for your service, Sam. Thank you for your service.
Well, you know, so I don't know if this is an omen because we've had a couple of really bad run-ins with blood before podcasts, a couple of episodes in a row now. There was the tooth incident last week.
Two similar scenarios for sure.
But you know what? For a second, I thought I might have to defer the start of the pod by like an extra like 10 minutes to let it just kind of get back under control. And I thought that would be the second time that we've been delayed, albeit for a much shorter period of time. But it would be the second time that we're delayed for due to hemorrhaging. So I'm gonna soldier on. I'm I'm a trooper. I'm here for it, man. I'm ready to go. We're not gonna let you guys down. We're still gonna deliver the pod this week, no problem. I'm hemorrhaging like Italian teams are hemorrhaging in the Champions League. Nice segue, Sam.
Smooth, very smooth segue.
Very smooth. Not a good year. Yeah,
not a good year. Not a good day for Atalanta today.
No, but we did well. I don't know if we maybe put the jinx on them last week. But they did have one goal scored by Luis Muriel, who we were.
Yeah, beautiful free kick.
Did not have a great game today though, but a very nice and a very nice free kick.
No, he scored that.
That's all we're gonna remember.
So. The stat that we shouted out last pod, and I'm sure is the stat that gets repeated or that's going to be repeated until the end of the season is his goal per minute stat. And that he can't play for 90 minutes was said by the commentator when they saw that most of his appearances were off the bench. So those are just the two lines that every time you watch Atalanta for the rest of the year, guaranteed you're going to hear both those lines every game when he comes off the bench or if he starts, no matter what.
Who are some of the best guys that you want coming off the bench, but that you don't want in any other scenario? So guys that you don't want to start.
In general?
Yeah. I mean, there's Caicedo, obviously. That's a given. We've joked about that ad nauseum. I don't know if there'd be enough to do a five-a-side of guys like that. I don't know.
Cutrone in his one-year vacuum prime off the bench was unreal. Every time he came off the bench, he scored.
We can maybe do a five-a-side of guys who you don't want starting.
Mattia Destro. Destro.
Well, here's the thing. If we do a five-a-side of guys you don't want starting, it could be in multiple contexts. You could have Muriel there. He's a beast, but you don't want him starting, it seems. You could also have, you know,
five-a-side
Daniele.
Of
you could have Daniele. Well, I was going to say, if it's a five-a-side of guys you don't want starting, you could also put Daniele Bonera because you don't want him starting, just as you never want him playing.
Very fluid, open, subjective five-a-side.
We could work on it. I don't know. Ideas are just
put it in the thought bank,
pulsating through my head right now. But yeah, Atalanta 3, Real Madrid. Excuse me. Fuck me. That would have been nice.
You wish.
Real Madrid 3, Atalanta 1, 4-1 Madrid on aggregate.
I'm just gonna go out there and give my stronzo of the week to Sportiello for absolutely ruining the match. I honestly think like
so early on that fuck
when
up too.
when a fuck up like that happens in such a big game that is so deflating. And I know like, you know, maybe some I don't know if this is a very shallow take, but like some very like championship mentality teams can you know, overcome an error like that. Not saying that like Atalanta is like a weak team or whatever, but like it's hard. That must be so deflating to just concede. You know, you're underdogs in the tie and you concede an absolute like garbage unforced error, you know, goal. Nobody in front of him either. Like he wasn't even getting pressed. It was really strange.
All you got to do is ping it. I mean, really he was strange. Trying to clear a ball and he just drilled it too low to the ground.
Yeah, I think that killed Atalanta for sure. That just they're down 3-0.
They were down 1-0 after one.
Yeah, but 3-0.
Right? So all they had to do was score a goal and the tie would have been wide open.
He pulled a Karius.
If you recall in the Champions League final a couple of years ago, when he again it wasn't quite as bad a blunder, but Karius gave up a ball under no pressure at all, and Benzema pickpocketed him and scored. It's the second time that I can recall seeing Karim Benzema be the benefactor of something like this in the Champions League when I was pulling against
Modric. Modric is the one who got the ball, but yeah, Benzema finished the play,
and yeah, I mean that was a tie right there. And it's funny because I'll assume some of the blame on this man because I was watching Atalanta play the other day and noticed that Sportiello was in goal because Golo is still out, my boy, and he
not injured though. He's on the bench,
which is so weird. I don't understand how that's happened. I don't know if that's maybe gonna be. You know, something that we could expect to change in the coming weeks now. But I actually thought, holy shit, Atalanta have quite a bit of depth at the goalkeeping position. They've had Sportiello and Golini for a couple of years, the two of them, and they're both they're both serviceable goalkeepers. I don't know if it's maybe an Italian bias because Sportiello has been in the league for a while or whatnot. In my mind, he was always a starter. He was a starter at Atalanta for a while, and then he somehow lost his spot. But if you recall, he was getting quite a bit of, I think, due praise a few years back when he was, again, their bona fide starter. But then they had, who's the Albanian guy who came in for a while?
Berisha, maybe? I don't know.
I think so, yeah. He would have come from Lazio. After Strakosha took the position by the horns at Lazio and forced Berisha out. Yes, exactly. But I don't know. He somehow kind of got he went out on loan. If you recall, he was at Fiorentina, and
he's played for the last little while. I mean, it hasn't been like a recent thing. I don't know how closely we've been following the situation, but I think he's been playing relatively consistently since the middle of February, I think, like the last three games.
It's only a few weeks now, because
five games even maybe.
Well, if you recall last week, I was talking about how some rapper buddy of Golini just a few weeks back made a reference to him in goal, posted a story of him saying San Gollo proteggi tutti gli homies, which I found amusing. That was
just not his net.
That was a few weeks ago. That was a few weeks ago. So it can have been more than a month, but yeah, look, it's a real shame because that killed the tie fucking early on. It goes without saying. They conceded three goals, but the last one that was conceded today was just right after Atalanta had scored, and I think they kind of had. It kind of resigned to just throwing as many bodies forward as they could. It was the 84th minute. Asensio took advantage of it. I mean, they did look pretty exposed a few times, bro. I don't know if you saw Vinicius.
No, they did.
Had a
they
couple
did.
Of chances that
Vinicius had some great runs.
Realistically, should have finished. I gotta say, and one of them led to a penalty, which Ramos took. And I don't know how. I don't know when this happened, but when did Sergio Ramos start taking penalties for Madrid? It's been like 2 years now that he's their guy.
I feel a while. I was gonna say since I thought Ronaldo, even longer.
Since
I thought
Ronaldo
longer.
Left, since Ronaldo left, he's been like their guy who takes penalties. Well,
okay,
so
maybe
so
I'm thinking
weird.
About him on the Spanish national team. But why? It's cool, man. He's so technical. It's crazy how technical he is. And what's also really interesting about Ramos is he came out today saying, and he also said it in a couple interviews in weeks past, that it doesn't seem likely like he's going to renew at Real Madrid. And I wonder if he would, if I know he came out and said he wants to play like at a high level for at least like another, I think he said 3 years, maybe. How old is he? 35, 34?
He'll be 35 this year if he's not already, because he's born in 86. Right. So I think he said he wants to play another several years until he's like 40 or into his 40s.
Yeah. Like
if he's fit, why not?
I wonder if he would test the waters in Serie A. I know definitely all like
the slower top, league. It would, top four
the clubs would, but I'm sure. Sorry. I meant to say, I think all the top four clubs would probably be very interested in taking him in, but, do you think maybe he wants to play like in the Premier League, or I don't know what? It would be cool to see him in the Serie A, though. It would be cool
to
see him.
If he's going to go anywhere, I'd be surprised if he doesn't go to like a PSG, take a ton of money, or go to the Premier League for the challenge. And the
United, maybe.
Yeah,
United.
But United will pay him a fucking boatload of money that he wouldn't get in Italy. I mean, they would do the same thing that they've been doing for years and overpay a center back.
That's the thing. I don't know how feasible it would be for that an Italian team would pay that much for a 35-year-old center back there. But I don't know. I still think from what I've seen, he's still very class. So
I mean, yeah, just the brand he's got, someone in the Prem would pay him so much money that he'd probably, if he had the same.
Oh, for sure.
You were
he's
getting
global.
The same,
he's iconic.
No, but if you were getting the same money in Serie A as what could be on offer in the Prem, he'd probably be one of the best players. Excuse me. He'd probably be one of the best paid players in the league, if not the best, if Ronaldo does leave. I mean, he might be the best paid player bar Ronaldo in the league. Again, that feels a little bit crazy to me. That feels a little bit crazy to me, considering what you could get for that price. But I don't know. Again, it's a reason why I don't think it's going to happen. But again, I don't want to gloss over something here, which is that people who understand or seem to follow Spanish football more than I do, and ergo, I guess, are smarter or more well-informed on the subject, claimed that he's actually not that impressive as a defender, and he's super reckless. He only just sort of steps up to the big moments, which I guess is, you know, you can't take that away from him. Like, it's a bad thing. Like, oh, he's only a big moment player. I mean, that's an oxymoron. But apparently, like, he only really steps up to the plate in big Champions League games and toward the end of the season when, like, it's crunch time. He has a hard time, I think, getting into the flow of games in, like, November. And again, I don't know. This is just something I've heard from people who have watched him more than I have. I'm citing Sid Lowe.
It almost sounds like first world problems, but in football, like having a team that's just been so good for so long, and you complain that your club captain, like icon, only performs in big games. Oh, boo fucking who? He only performs in big fucking games. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, I mean that's like on Football Manager when you have absolutely everything in the world and you're still complaining to the board because you want more money. You're winning everything. You've already won the Champions League, but then you go to the board and you just cuck them, and just because it's never enough. You always want more. You complain to them about how the training facilities, stuff that doesn't even affect you directly, data analysis.
Yeah.
You just become petty about it. You become like Drake, you know, just petty as fuck. So they refuse you to go to the media and you sing a Drake song, a petty Drake song. How petty is Drake? I love how petty Drake is.
He is very petty. How petty do you feel in Football Manager when you do leak the press?
I've never done that. I tried it once.
You put your balls to the wall?
You did it once at Piscata several years back and got fired, I think. So I've never dared do it except one time when I actually, like, I think like I did it on my second day on the job, just to see what would happen. When I got sacked, I just wiped the save clean. It's a surefire way to get sacked.
Not if you're like a mainstay in a club, like you're like a Sir Alex Ferguson type. If you leak the press, I think you're fine.
That feels like how one of those relationships goes south. I don't know if you heard Drake's little EP or mixtape, whatever the hell you'd call it, a limited play.
Yeah, I didn't listen to it enough, but I glossed over
Scary
it.
Scary Hours too. Hey, our Canadian boy, we'll give him a shout out here. Track number three, the last one, Lemon Pepper Freestyle. It's probably his best song in years. Probably the best thing he's released in. It's the most Drake thing he's released in years.
For real. And my city love me like DeMar DeRozan. I sent her the child support. She sent me the heart emoji.
Rick Ross is on it. But it's everything you'd want about it. He laments being famous. He laments relationships with women and how on Valentine's Day he had sex. I think he just has more mature problems now. Like, he has a son. He talks about how at parent-teacher meetings, all the wives are googly-eyed about him and asking if he knows Jay-Z and Beyonce and Nicki Minaj. And he's like so not with it all. It's the most Drake song he's released in years. Highly recommend it.
It is good.
How's it going with you on Football Manager these days? You had a funny, you killed me a few weeks back when you were filling me in on how you were doing at Fulham. And you said that you basically had no money. You didn't foresee a lot of success in the future. And you said that if you get relegated, you were I'm quoting you here. You said you're jumping ships like the Costa Concordia captain.
Don't be that guy.
What happened with him again? Sorry, but just provide a little context. Like, yes, it was a ship that was sinking, but he tried to escape because, of course, the expression is the captain goes down with a ship, women and children.
Yeah, no, it's actually, I think it's against maritime law to abandon your ship as a captain.
I think you can get like manslaughter for it, actually.
Yeah, no, that you get manslaughter for people dying because of the accident, not for jumping ship. Jumping ship is another.
Yeah, but if you go down with the ship, you're dead. I think if you jump ship, then they hold you accountable for having jumped ship. So it's a pretty
it's
a pretty big dilemma. You could either be a coward.
Still in prison. Is he still in prison? He's probably still in prison.
This is Italy, bro. He might have never even made it to prison. They might have.
No, he did. He did. He did. He did. No. He did. He made it to prison.
They made an example out of him. They threw the book.
Nevertheless, I did not jump ship. I ended up saving myself from relegation. I don't even know what year I'm in now. Fucking Corona. Like 2025, maybe.
I can't go that far. Once I get to three years in,
I'm loving it.
It's ridiculous to me.
No,
beyond 3 years, I don't know, man. I don't like when you get too far into it that like Real Madrid has a star that doesn't exist. And
I find it fun.
Was it you who sent me a tweet the other day about
the regen names?
Some guy that was like 10 years into the game and they just started coming up with these ridiculous names. Like they're almost
Sunday Friday. I think one of them was Sunday Friday.
They're insulting, but they want to see if we'll just allow it to happen and not mention anything. They want to see how long they could let that shit happen before somebody notices it and says, okay, this is a little bit much. This is a little bit ridiculous here. They're playing a joke on us. They're sitting down People around notice. The boardroom, guys around the water cooler at the football manager like office or whatever company.
Sega, I think.
I don't know if Sega are the developers. I think football manager is big enough. They might have their own office. I don't fucking know, dude. I have no idea.
But who cares?
people that work on it, definitely around the water cooler, said at one point, maybe like a Christmas party, a couple guys got drunk. Like, hey, you know, it'd be hilarious if we came up with the most ridiculous names that we could based on each nationality to the point that it's almost insulting. And we'll see what happens.
That's Sunday Friday, dude. What nationality was he?
I've got these here. Okay, you got. Fuck me. I'll compose myself. Okay. Hailing from Wales. And bear in mind, these guys are all lined up like one after another, either on someone's team. I don't know if a guy decided to just recruit guys
probably on his short list. Probably.
Like I was going to say, it looks like a short list where maybe a guy like found crazy names in the system.
Yeah.
Short list. But it'll be really funny if by filtering by a certain variable, this sequence of players was what came up organically. Names. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Number one, hailing from Wales. Matty Jellyman. Matty. We knew
Dude in the accent. You have to do it in the accent.
We knew a Matty in high school. Okay, sorry.
Dude in the accent without being too insulting.
Matty Jellyman. Hailing from Portugal. Sunday Friday.
Portuguese. Like, at least make it believable.
Hailing from Argentina. From Argentina. Facundo Italiano. Hailing from España. Perfecto. Hailing from... It's the best one. The Italian. Francesco Claps. He's from Bolzano. He's from Trentino Alto Adige. He's from along the border with Austria. Claps.
It's unreal.
Who's that guy that played for Milan, then I think signed for Juve. Simone Gans.
Yeah, again. Yeah, there's been some weird names that passed through Milan because of the northern connection.
A very similar name to that guy. And actually, the best one is... No, we'll save the best for last. The Frenchman. Jimmy Jean-Jean.
When someone pretends they know... When someone fakes that they speak French. Jimmy Jean-Jean.
It sounds like Peter Griffin came up with these names. It sounds like Peter Griffin came up with the last one. It was a YouTube video I saw once of guys it was Woody and Kleiny, guys in London, outside an Arsenal game a few years back, played a prank on the general public where one of them got a fade up and, you know, he got a fresh trim, a beard lineup. He dressed up in like a big puffer jacket and a ball hat and a ball cap and some nice crepes and skinny jeans, like he was a footballer. Sunglasses on. They got like the guy's girlfriend, some blonde model, to be by his side and just strut down London around the Emirates. And they had a few cameras kind of just follow him around. And one guy goes up to him, one of the guys who's part of this comedy duo just goes, Fernando, like, are you going to sign for the Arsenal? Are you going to sign for the Arsenal? And they named him Fernando Wurst, like W-I-R-S-T. This is his name that made no sense. Could be Argentinian, like Argentinian German or whatever. And he just goes, no comment. And it's just hilarious. And you have people asking for his autograph, taking pictures with him. I wonder if we could maybe do that. We couldn't really do it now. Because crowds of people aren't really a thing anymore.
No, but I guess like putting on a mask could like definitely make a difference too, you know?
See.
Hide your face.
Fuck. I was going to say, you know, we'd have to do this in a foreign city. I can't do it locally due to professional reasons that I can't get into the specifics of.
But it would be really... But,
I think that would make it even funnier.
No. I don't want to have to answer to anything in my professional life, which I've never gotten into on this pod, actually, somehow. It's been a long time. We haven't gotten into it. And I think we'll keep it that way. But
yeah,
if we went to like... I don't know, bro. If we went to like just New York... And I don't know, just say I'm a UFC fighter. It doesn't have to be football specific. It'd be funny because we can make a YouTube video out of it and post it on the pod or something. But I don't know. I'm a UFC fighter. I'm a famous UFC fighter. So many people don't know. The UFC fighters, MMA fighters are so famous, but it's a fringe fame still. Much like the NFL. You can go like the NFL is very... You could argue that a lot of NFL players, especially the big stars, are bigger than the biggest UFC stars. Probably,
yeah, like quarterback,
star, certainly in the States. But again, like both examples of fringe enough fame that if we walked around like here and purported, I don't know, we just had a couple of like moles say, you don't know who that is. It's so-and-so. He plays this or he participates in this sport or I don't fucking know what. That would be funny. Maybe I'm just an Italian footballer on vacation visiting his family or something. Maybe that could be good. He's not here to sign for anyone. I wonder if we could pull off a prank like that.
That'd be hilarious.
I'll bet you we could. We just need a couple of cameras to make it look legit, or we could just have people with their iPhones out, and we just have to coordinate. We just have to coordinate once we could realistically expect people to not give a fuck about Corona anymore to the point that they would crowd around a stranger. Okay, I don't know. Noted in the content bank.
Added to the thought bank again.
What else?
Another
What else do we want to get to here? Do you want to talk about?
So I sent you an article right like when we started recording. I wanted to get to it.
Okay.
Hilarious. It's about. I think it's so. I skimmed it very quickly, and we'll go through it right now. I sent it to you with the intention of us going through it together.
Okay, well, let's do it now.
I did read it quickly.
We're like 20 plus minutes in and we've not talked about any Serie A games, which is cool. You know, we're going at our own pace, but I love just, I love the energy here.
Here we go. Okay. Here, look,
I love what we
this story is Juve intertwined. It involves Luis Suarez and leaked interrogations, I guess, between him and I guess the authorities in Italy, whoever's investigating the ongoing farce of him at the University of Perugia, writing a test that he already had the answers to, apparently.
I figured this
was more entertaining to talk about for Juventus rather than a 3-1 win against Cagliari, Ronaldo coming out scoring. I find the narrative hilarious now on Twitter about how Ronaldo's like the Crotone man or the Cagliari man. I love those memes, are so funny. So
I love how the fanboys still come out and say proving the haters wrong. But they've been doing that for years. He'd score a hat-trick against Elche, which I would never be able to do, you know. Like it's still a hat-trick in the top flight of football. It's good, but I don't know. It's decidedly less of a big deal than when he scored a hat trick against Atletico Madrid a couple of years ago. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, his fanboys will always come out and just say, the GOAT, still the GOAT, always has been.
Better than Pessi. Always same tweets. Same tweets every time.
Where does that come from? Pessi or Penaldo?
It's the most uncreative.
Somehow you say that in a Twitter reply and you win an argument. Yeah.
Better than Penaldo.
Let's get into this before because we haven't talked about any city. I just want to make sure that we don't that Milan don't get off scot free after.
No.
Game the other day. I just want to say that, even though I like the energy that we've been bringing. And before you do get into this, by the way, we fucked up. I think we've apologized for this before on the pod, but we on Instagram, we only have like 1,000 people follow us on Instagram. So fine, I guess we don't really have to issue this apology. But fuck, I feel like for the record, mad diss to the Università di Perugia, who we like many people misattributed. The wrongdoings to the foul play of this whole Luis Suarez incident, when in fact it was like another fringe linguistics university in Perugia, totally different institution.
I remember they came out with a statement.
And I think I read it on the pod once. but they were saying like, please stop replying to us. Please stop like please stop commenting under our posts, asking us if we had anything to do with the Luis Suarez incident or if we have any comment on the matter. It is not us. We had nothing to do with it. But we on Instagram posted a meme with Universidad de Perugia's logo. And I think, again, I think we've already clarified it for the record, but every time this comes up, I feel like maybe we should go back and just I don't know, just try to rectify the situation. Because I also find it hilarious that just the fucking poor staff at this university got dragged into it.
Getting hammered. They're just getting nailed.
It's because they happen to be the same city as the other people who took part in this whole fiasco. So what happened?
So, and open the article here so you can read it while we're going through it, but basically an interrogation between, I guess, so the Italian authorities and Luis Suarez was leaked. In summary, I guess, the leaks confirmed that Luis Suarez received a copy of the exam beforehand. So obviously what we knew, but it's confirmed. And apparently the lawyers of this university in Perugia, whichever one it's called, the Linguistics University of Perugia, I think it's who gives a fuck?
Yeah, Università dei Stranieri di Perugia.
who gives a fuck?
No, that doesn't make sense.
they claim,
but hang on, this is funny. It's obviously not what I just said, because what I just said is the Foreigners University of Perugia. Like that would never be the name of an institution, I don't think. But anyway. Stranieri is somewhere in their title. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I think we've done enough. We fucked up enough misattributing the name of the institution to someone else. Let's not take it any further. So lawyers for the institution.
Yeah. So the lawyers of the institution. What we'll call it that. The institution.
The institution in question.
Were claiming that he got a fake version of the exam. Like it wasn't actually a copy of the exam. So he got.
So they were complicit. They were complicit, but they didn't want. Wait. Whoa. Okay. No. Hang on. Go.
Apparently,
go on.
He got like a mock exam, or it wasn't the actual exam that he got. Some bullshit like that. And the article explains it as, it was a facsimile. That's why I asked you this question before the podcast started. What does a facsimile mean? But I looked up a facsimile, according to the dictionary of Merriam-Webster, whatever, is an exact copy. But the article says I don't know if it's a bad translation.
The article, by the way, misattributes the name of the university. They're talking about the Università di Perugia, who, again, as we've discussed now, have actually had nothing to do with this. They're still getting dragged. So it's good that we keep continuing to rectify the situation. Carry on. Sorry.
We're raising awareness. But Sam, if you continue lower down in the article, you see apparently Nedved and Paratici called them. This was before they even agreed to contractual terms, and basically said Paratici actually, Suarez says that Paratici told them that they inquired about him because they thought he had an Italian passport like his wife, but he didn't.
Right.
How does, like, who fucked up in that scenario?
Do you remember there were some conversations leaked a few weeks back where I think Suarez's agent, and again, I don't know how these screenshots came out, but Suarez's agent apparently, allegedly, in this discussion with Paratici in like a WhatsApp conversation, had a back and forth where Paratici asked him, like, Luis tiene un pasaporte europeo? Like, does he have a European passport?
Right.
And his rep answers, no, non tiene pasaporte. But Paratici goes, oh, that's funny. Because as you could see here on Transfer Market, he's listed as Italian or something like that. Apparently, like one of the flags next to his profile was the Italy flag, which is
that's bad.
Yeah. Anyway,
like who fucking?
I'm happy this story isn't dying.
I know, it's hilarious. It just goes to show, like, even sporting directors use transfermarket.eu or whatever the fuck it's called, which is hilarious. But I guess the rest of the article kind of just goes through where he says, like, I received, very specific, I received a PDF document with the text of the exam and was instructed to study it well because it could be the test.
It could have the topic of the test. And then the article's pretty funny here. So it goes on to say he was in touch with Juventus also. Okay, the article's totally miswritten. I don't know if it was translated from Italian or something, but
yeah, I think that's what it is.
What was that website we used to toast all the time? Calciomercato.com.
Yeah. Terrible translation. It's very similar. That's what this is. Very similar.
Okay. Anyway, Suarez was further quoted as saying, Paratici called me on the day to tell me that I did the right choice for my family, which sounds like a mobster, which sounds like something a mobster would say. Andrea Agnelli phoned later on to say that he was sorry that the negotiation did not get finalized and thanked me for facilitating it by forcing my way out of Barcelona. With that in football, you cannot have definite plans. Hey, listen, Luis, we know you forced your way out of Barcelona and you had to go to the board and hand in a transfer request. We appreciate that. Sorry.
Thanks for fucking your former employer, but we're gonna pass on you after discovering that you do not have an Italian passport.
Yeah, well,
but what I want to know is was there a cap? It was because
I don't know what else.
I believe, and Football Manager helped me with this. I believe in Italy there's a rule where you can only sign two. So if you sign a player outside of Italy,
there's a non-EU.
You can only sign two non-EU players with nationality base that are coming from outside of the league. Yeah. So I guess, I don't know who it would have been. I guess was Weston McKennie brought in on loan before that? And then I don't know.
I don't know if that counts as a transfer. If it's
yeah, it does. Loan counts. Yes, it does.
Then he's one. And
I don't know who the other one
would be. I'm drawing up.
But anyway, I guess that's why they couldn't
Arthur? Arthur, maybe? Arthur.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Arthur.
Probably
yeah.
Arthur. Again, I don't know how Suarez has been in Europe for the past like 16 years and decided to never get a passport. Feels like something that you should
maybe
do.
maybe as an English passport, but now they're not European.
No, they still are. They still haven't. I mean, I know Brexit's a thing, but they haven't had to renounce either their EU passports yet. Or I think EU passports from the United Kingdom are still a thing. So he doesn't. And if he did have a British passport at the time of his leaving Liverpool, it would have still been an EU passport. It would have, you know, it would have still been transferable into his time at Barcelona. The point was he had none, which makes no sense. Terrible career advice. But look, let's
just didn't give a shit.
So it should be pointed out, as you said, Juve did. You know, speaking of Juve, Juve did beat Cagliari the weekend 3-1, hat trick from Ronaldo in the first half.
The Cagliari man.
Look, we've been all right in the Lega recently. We have. It's a good win. Fantastic. The problem is that, you know, we have to now be perfect going down the stretch. And again, until we drop off, I think, a further couple of points, until that happens, if it ever does, Juve are still in the race as far as things are concerned now. It's just very unlikely. You know, they have to beat the game in hand. We have to beat Napoli in the game in hand. That goes without saying. And we have to beat Inter, and that'll put us within 4 points. So Inter have to lose a game. They have to drop a point or two. They have to drop a game. They have to drop the ball totally and lose a game. Mm-hmm. And just totally fuck up another tie and maybe just get a draw or something. That'll put
us. You know what game I'm eyeing?
We are perfect, though. That's the thing. We have no.
You know what game? But you know what game I'm eyeing for that to maybe happen? I'm eyeing.
I was eyeing the Atalanta game last week, which didn't come to fruition.
So moving forward, I'm looking at Bologna versus Inter April 3rd as potentially that game. Bologna at home at the Dell'Arra.
Okay, why Bologna?
I could see it. I don't know. Like a Sinisa thing. I just feel
there's
like
Bologna's... no way you have any informed.
No, none. Of course not. Of course,
you're
I don't.
You're just throwing shit at the wall.
When do any of our opinions come informed? On this podcast. Anyways,
me telling you right now that I don't think Juve are going to go perfect down the stretch is an informed opinion. I don't. We've done well. The problem is that Inter keep. They keep winning games ugly. You know, they won at the weekend. They won at the weekend on an 85th minute winner from Lautaro Martinez. That's fucking serious shit, man. That is serious. When there's 10 minutes left in a game and you're in a title race and you wanna really just sink your teeth into it as soon as you can, you gotta be able to do the business in really difficult moments like that. They've done it all year. It's really frustrating as someone who's trying to catch them right now. It doesn't look like the way they've been playing recently that they'll really they'll be slowing down anytime soon.
No, they didn't have a, no they, it really doesn't.
They had a very up and down year up until January, and they've gotten together over the last 2 months very quietly.
Yeah, no, I really quietly. I was gonna say that, like, it's just like something, not something, but it almost just seems like the machine was finally like rolling at 100%. It was like a train that was like slowly building steam. I guess that's what you mean though. Gradually,
you knocked them out of the Copa, and they had already been out of the Champions League, and that was it, man. They just needed one thing to focus on, and
started picking up steam, and now they're on full gear. Yeah, I don't know. I'd be shocked at this point if they don't win the title, to be honest. If they don't win the title, I wouldn't be shocked.
I just don't think it'll happen. I'd be surprised. But nah.
I think they would be a laughing. Sam, if Inter dropped from right now the title race, you don't think they would be a laughing stock right now in Italy? You don't think so?
Game in hand, bro. That's we got the game in hand, bro. We basically have the title locked up. That's what I say to you in response. Look, if Juve beat Napoli and
but it's still a seven point difference at that point. They can drop two full games. They've only lost two full games all year.
I know, but the gap that you're seeing now between
I know how to read games played. But again, the gap you're seeing now
between first and second is kind of a Fugazi gap in the event that Juve do beat Napoli, because then it becomes, again, a 7-point gap, which, again, difficult to surmount, but a lot of people see a 9-point gap and think, fuck me, they're running away with it. They're not quite yet.
They're not quite yet.
There's 11 games left in the season.
Not six. No, seven.
I said six.
Six.
I meant to say
you
seven.
You wish it was six. They can lose. If I said six, I meant to say seven.
There's no way people are wish following. What we're, there's no way people are following what we're saying now. We're just throwing numbers out there now. Just six, nine, seven. But this game in hand. I'm telling you, this game in hand is gonna go down the fucking wire. It's going to go down to the wire.
I've been seeing that. He keeps getting put off. Bro, when did we... I said this a month ago, probably.
We've been agreeing on this.
They're going to wait right to the end.
If Juve had still kept those 3 points and Napoli, the forfeit that Napoli had to endure, you know, if it didn't get overturned recently, we'd be looking at things a little bit differently now, because all Juve have to really do to be within, I think, a realistic point of striking Inter is beat them when we play them next, which is going to be toward the end of the year. May. However, again, if Inter lose one game, they have to lose one game. And again, I don't want to take too much of a Juventino kind of lens, put it in front of my eyes and kind of just spew things out as I see them from a Bianconero point of view. I'm not just saying this to put this out into the universe, I swear. I just think that if Inter do drop a game, say you're right and they lose that game at Bologna, it becomes interesting because Juve then kind of have their fate in their own hands. I just think they'll fuck it up because they suck, because we suck. That's what I think. I think that Inter will lose a game. I just think that we don't have enough firepower to consistently win now until the end of the year. We cannot afford to drop any points. And that's it. That's all it is. I think that if we went perfect till the end of the year, we would win it. I don't think we will go perfect till the end of the year. That's the difference. But look, it's theoretically possible. But bro, I don't know. Alexis Sanchez is playing really well too. Where the hell did that come from? Where the hell did Alexis Sanchez come from?
He had been very random, extremely random.
No, but just this year, he's kind of coming into his own. People are erecting murals in his honor. He's legit now. He's kind of back to the level that he was at.
No, absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
I think so.
Are you kidding me? He was the alpha on an Arsenal team. Give me a break.
He's so useful to them, bro.
But the awful comparison. There's one thing that you could be useful. You could be useful. He was the alpha dog at Arsenal Football Club. Like, don't mess around.
Listen, if you asked me a year ago, I would have said he might have been finished.
Yeah, me too. But that's a different story. That's a different discussion. He's obviously I think he's found some new kind of life in the Serie A.
I didn't say he's back to his best. I just said I think he's back. I think he's back to play.
I said
roll the fucking tape back. It's not what I said. I said I think he's back to playing at a high level. I think he's back to being capable of playing in an elite team. And I have a theory about him that he actually just got tired out because he played summer football for like four consecutive years. Remember they had Copa Americas like 2 years in a row. He was at the World Cup in 2014. There was a Copa America in 2015. There was another Copa America in 2016. And then there was a Confederations Cup in 2017. In 2018, he wasn't at the World Cup because Chile didn't qualify. But by that point, he had played nonstop like football 11, 12 months a year, like 5 years in a row. And I think he probably maybe burnt out a little bit. Just speculating, but
big speculation.
They've got something building here, man. I think they're playing for Conte, which is dangerous because when players buy into Conte's system,
I'm telling you, it looks done. It really looks done to me.
I don't know.
I'd be shocked.
And by Conte's system, I'm not talking about buying into the tactical system. I'm talking about his psychological system of management. You know what I mean? When players buy in and decide that they love him, then they'll go to the end of the world for him. We've seen it before. That's what's scary. And he's also done it in every league that he's been in. Usually at first try, but it looks like it could still be happening.
I don't agree.
You guys have been falling off quite markedly. A 1-0 loss.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would say I so. You had a night.
No, I wouldn't. But I wouldn't go that far considering the amount of injuries that we've had, man. I really haven't. I mean, this weekend was a bad loss. 1-0 to Napoli.
I don't care why. I don't care what variables might be at play. I'm just saying you guys have unfortunately really fallen off the map here. Like it was your title to lose. All you had to do was keep playing the way you were doing. You had a little bit of wiggle.
But you can't. But that's my point. You can't keep playing the way you're doing when you're losing 5-6 starters, Sam. And like the game against Napoli this weekend, we created chances. It wasn't a boring game where there was like no chance creation. We created plentiful of chances and guys didn't finish. Like Rafael Leao couldn't finish, can't buy a goal these days. Rebic couldn't finish, gets sent off for calling the ref son of a whore, your mother's a prostitute from Naples or whatever he said, from Napoli, something like that.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what I read. And
he said your mother's a prostitute from Naples.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure he did?
That's what I read. That's what I read. Yes, I read it on. It was Matteo Bonetti replied to an article that was posted about him getting fined 100k. 100k. Sorry, 100k. 10k or whatever.
I still haven't heard it. I didn't watch the game. I still haven't heard it. Hang on. This is funny.
We're not playing poorly,
but why would he call her a prostitute?
I don't know.
He would say son of a whore. That makes more sense. I mean, if you're a whore, I guess you're sort of a prostitute by extension, but did he call her a prostitute?
I don't know the semantics. There
are no fans in the stadium. We should be able to decipher this pretty easily.
But Sam, anyway, I disagree. I disagree with your take. Given the situation, I mean, on an objective basis, like, yeah, I get it. Sliding down the standings, of course. Just looking at the numbers, of course, we've slid, and it hasn't looked great. But given the circumstances, think of the win that we had against Verona was huge. That 2-0 win that a lot of people figured would be a game that Milan would struggle with, considering, I guess, their preceding form to that. Like that win against Roma, the draw against Udinese was obviously not great. And then like the Europa League result against Manchester United, where so many chances we generated too, and we had to scrape it out at the end on a corner. I can't be happier, honestly, with the way that the team's played. So it'd be very shallow as a fan to say that, like, of course I'm disappointed that we've like lost the title race, but given the goddamn insane scenario that's going on at Milan Labs, like we've discussed last week, I don't know what's going on. Can it just be insane bad luck? Like maybe, but it doesn't seem like it is. It honestly seems like there must be some kind of catalyst to the issue. Look, I mean, we played so high above expectations. We still are playing above expectations given our squad. I can't be disappointed. The match, obviously, this past weekend, the result is disappointing, but I can't be mad with the way that we've played and the chances we've created and just like the spirit that we've maintained. You just gotta hope now in the Europa League coming up, like big match against United. We have the away goal. You hope maybe on that front we can make a push as far as possible and just stay as competitive as possible. And who knows where it goes. But obviously the title race is done. It's disappointing. But look, man, I'm so happy with our squad. And I know. I told you this off air. I don't know if I said it on recording last week. But I'm not dissing Juve. I'm not at all. But it's just so funny how different we feel about each other's teams right now in such opposite directions where, you know, in your mind and rightfully so, it's all about like reset the project, like new blood, rejuvenate. Like
here's the problem.
We're on the decline. And it's just like I've never felt so positive before, even though we threw away a title race, which I think is very unfair, given that Inter squad is miles above ours and we still managed to maintain that gap for as long as possible.
Here's
disappointing
the thing.
But I'm so excited about this team, man. I'm so excited.
Here's the thing. I think there's a lot of wishful thinking from people like you and from people who do support other clubs in Serie A. Seeing you and not be clear title contenders at this point. I think there's a lot of wishful thinking where people are kind of maybe speaking things into existence a little bit, or hoping that they'll speak things into existence saying, yeah, you know, like this could be their rebrand, you know, this could be their rebuild. It could be a tough couple of years ahead of them.
Simon, how many times have you told me you just want a laundry list of guys you want to just get rid of right now?
But
I can't say the same right now for the team that I support.
No, but hold on a second. Don't morph the situation that Juve are in now into a possible paragon of what it was that Milan went through 10 years ago.
I'm not comparing it to that. That's a joke. I'm not comparing it to that at all. Typical Sam, you're putting words in my mouth. Did not anywhere come close to saying that Juve was going in its like banter era. I did not say that. I just said it's funny how like the sentiments of our teams.
You've implied it before. Own... I'm just
no,
saying.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
I think there's no, a very relax. Relax. We're just talking. Relax. We're just talking.
Fool.
What are you doing?
Fool.
Yeah, fool. What the fuck are you?
Fool.
What are we in the medieval?
You fool.
Are we in the medieval ages? You call me a fool.
You are a fool.
Nobody calls anyone a fool with a straight face. What do you relax?
Do I have a straight face right now?
Buddy, I don't think it's that bad. I think we could still be able to compete next year. I think we should. I think we're still a few pieces away. We've never been more than a few pieces away. It could be a couple of years. It won't be 10. You know, that'd be insane. Anyway, look.
Again, I don't know. I don't know who you're talking to when you're talking about that, but I never.
I wasn't only attributing this to you. As I said, I think that a lot of City.
I don't think any logical person that has two eyes and a working brain that watches Serie A would say that Juventus is heading into a banter era. Stop trying to be a victim. That's not true.
That's not what I said.
Not
I
true.
Said, I Playing said, victim. I don't. No, I just said, don't morph us in with the same level
I am not.
That you guys went through. I don't think we're going to go through that deep a level of despair.
Who said that?
Okay. Let's move on. This is a good old fashioned debate. Like earlier days in the pod, when we used to just actually argue about football and not talk about like, I don't know, just stupid shit like the Costa Concordia captain and whatnot. So Nick, side note here. I don't think we can ever talk about Roma again. I don't think we can talk about Roma ever again. Or we could if either of our side needs Roma to lose for whatever reason.
We need to pump them down. We're like the opposite of Wall Street bets. We're pumping them down.
We're 2-for-2 on Roma mush now. We've mushed them twice. I think the last two times that we've discussed how impressive they were, they just fell right back down to earth.
No, but I believe last week we said we were going to limit our speaking to the about.
Well, we wanted to see. We wanted to see if it would have an effect.
Clearly, it was too much, and now I think we're really approaching that limit, and I think we should stop right now.
Parma to Roma nil, bro. Parma, what the fuck, bro? Parma are going down. I mean,
I so hope that they can somehow. I don't know about that. There's 11 games left.
I don't. I actually don't know that they will.
Cagliari has been so bad that they are 3 points from being safe. 3 points.
I think maybe Parma could edge Cagliari. I don't know.
I really hope so.
I can't see Torino saving themselves.
Kyle Kraus just seems like a genuine guy. We share it on our Twitter page, the interview that he had on DAZN. For those of you who have DAZN, you can watch it too on your subscription on your TV. I don't know. I really hope they had some super tough, you know, games in the last since February, if I can remember, like a tough loss against Inter 2-1. Like they tied Spezia, they tied Udinese, I think. They like narrowly lost out to Hellas Verona. Last week too, I think it was 3-3 against Fiorentina. Like they can't catch a break. They've been so close, and they like with Daversa coming back, like they are noticeably better, in my opinion. I enjoyed watching Parma 2 years ago. I did. Like I found them very entertaining and just a fun team to watch when they were mid table and creeping towards like the top half of the table. And they're definitely reforming themselves back into, I guess, a team that noticeably plays like decent football. But I don't know. I really hope they brought in a couple guys too in the winter that were like highly touted youngsters. Dennis Mann, I think, is the Romanian kid that's supposed to be a very promising player, and
tragic to see.
Yeah, just Xerxes, right? Bayern product.
That guy from Bayern. Yeah, exactly.
Like a 6'4" striker.
I'd love to see. That's all I didn't even know. I'd love to see them stay up just because.
So look, they have games against Genoa and Benevento in the next two. So the time's
pretty
now.
Big. That's pretty big.
Time's now.
The problem is the dreaded draw. Typically, when you get teams lower down the table that play each other, that are just. Again, the professional footballers, let's not get it twisted, but just generally when you get teams lower down the table who have players who are maybe not quite of the same kind of, like, I don't know. I don't want to say they're not of the same technical ability. I mean, I guess they have the basic technical ability necessary to be a pro footballer at the highest level. But when you don't kind of have as much star power, I find that games could tend to be a little bit more dull, and you tend to see draws all the fucking time. How many nil-nil draws have you seen, like, from two teams that you could from two teams that might be going down at the end of the year that you would never even think twice about? I mean, it happens. I feel like it happens fairly often. I could be building up this narrative totally, totally falsely. I don't know though. I feel like I see Hellas Verona, who I know are not at risk of going down right now, but just for example, they have gone down in years past. I feel like I've seen Hellas Verona draw Cagliari like five times a year. I feel like those results happen all
the time. You saw them draw each other five times a year.
No. I feel like I see similar results to that all the time. I feel like when a Sampdoria play, how many times do you see Sampdoria versus Genoa get built up as a derby? You know, oh, wow, Derby della Lanterna. Wow, it's an underrated.
And
derby.
Just ends 0-0.
Fucking ends 1-1. Nil-nil. Nil-nil, bro.
Yeah.
I know.
No disrespect.
And both of those sides for the past several years have been, you know, further down the table. Also,
shout out to Graziano Pelle. Started this match, did not score. He only lasted 60 minutes, longer than I thought he would.
He just needs to score one, bro.
Seemed like a sub at halftime kind of guy. I don't know if he still had his legs from China, but he started. So it looks like he'll have some chances to start. We'll see if
he just needs to take one penalty.
My over under of zero of zero.
He just needs to take one true. Penalty. And I'm right. I said he was gonna score one goal. It's a very straightforward ep this week. No real segments. I'll give a quick fire hero in Stronzo, no problem. But I just wanted to say I do have a kind of like pseudo segment I want to get to here. In players that we didn't realize had transferred to teams in Serie A, Daniele Rugani is now at Cagliari. I totally missed that.
He came back from Rennes, right?
And he went to Cagliari, I guess, in the transfer window in the winter.
What happened? Totally they sent him back. They said, "Fuck this guy." He's dipping his pizzas in his cappuccino. Get him the
fuck out of his cappuccino. I think they got tired of his girlfriend's antics. Just having a stare in her eyes on social media all the time. She always creeps me out. Me and a couple of friends have this joke, like whenever we see her on social media, that she looks like the fucking type of psycho girlfriend who's like, what do you mean you're going out with your friends this weekend? I thought we said that we were gonna hang out together. But we're going to my parents this weekend. What? Like, don't you want to see me? Don't you want to spend time with me? She got that look in her eyes. I don't know. Maybe she scared them off. I don't know. Just start that narrative right now. Just run with that.
You would. If anyone would, you would.
Yeah, the WAG man. So yeah, I guess they sent him back. He wasn't what they had ordered. He didn't come in the package like they expected, like they saw on the catalog. And in other players who have returned to Serie A for teams that I didn't realize, Fernando Llorente is playing at Udinese.
Yeah.
You knew this?
I did. So I was debating. When I saw him come off the bench against Milan, How often do you watch Udinese?
It's fair. It's totally fair.
I know it is. And he came off the bench, and I wanted to tweet that was like, this guy is gonna come off of the bench in like 2032, and like nobody's gonna be shocked. Like he's gonna still be happening. He's gonna be at some like a Division II team or something. I don't know. But I noticed that he'd been on the team since like January and even came on for a few sub appearances. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm late on this.
How many goals is your head to score between now and the end of the year? We'll set the over under at 0.5 again. I'll say one. I just need them to take a penalty, bro. I just need him to be alone in the box on like a two.
Wait, let me just verify quickly. Let me just verify if he actually did score.
Yeah, I confirm that he hasn't scored yet. I don't think he has. Okay, I'm gonna give a couple of hero of the weeks here. I'm gonna give one to our boy Felipe Caicedo, who scored for Lazio and got them a late win against Crotone. Lazio, who have been, I don't want to say they've been in free fall, but they've not been playing well of late. They totally did not deserve to win this game. But they did. Credit to Crotone.
Heartbreaking for Crotone.
It truly is. They had a managerial change recently as well. Our boy Simi scored two goals, bro. Wasn't enough. You and I were talking about how Simi surely has
Fernando,
to be.
Sorry to cut you off. Fernando Llorente scored against Sassuolo actually last weekend.
Well, okay. So chalk one up for Sam. You know what? How about from now? I'll say one more. If he's already got one.
He plays a lot more than I thought.
But last week, I actually knew that he scored, because last week when I saw he had scored a goal is when I realized that he was playing back in Serie A.
There you go. Boom. Full circle.
I'll say one more. One more. He'll finish the year with two. Yeah. See me two goals as well, though, bro. So again, I'll give the hero of the week for me to Caicedo, but see me a little shout out. You and I were talking this week about how we think that he's as good as gone from Crotone, because they're probably going down this year, Matt. It looks really tough. Can you imagine if he stuck it out with them for another year? I think he would be an icon.
I think he would be an icon at that point.
They've got a name, a cured meat, after him in Calabria if he does that.
The Simi sausage, salsiccia Simi or something.
No. Sopressimi Crotonese. That'd be so good.
I would buy that in bulk.
Yo, that's unreal.
I think he's my new favorite cult player. I'm not gonna lie.
I remember the bicycle kick
against Juve, like, bro. He just slowly kills.
He's got so many more goals than Osimhen. I could see him at Sampdoria. Second time I shit on Sampdoria in the last 10 minutes, but yeah.
Not a big deal. He's only 28.
In other news,
he's six foot six.
Spring chicken.
Is he that tall? Yeah.
He's taller than Llorente.
In 141 appearances for Crotone, he scored 56 goals. That's not a bad return.
It's really not when you play for a team that garbage. Granted,
a lot of those games were in Serie B,
but... yeah.
So what? He's not getting any, bro. He's probably just hacking at shit.
No, he's the best. He's the best player in the league in Serie B. I think he led.
He's the Ronaldo. He was doing the fucking. Yeah. He was doing the Sioux in the corner every time he scored.
Yeah, he's a Sioux merchant in Serie B, as you call it.
6'6".
I want to give another shout out to another big man. Zlatan is back in the Sweden squad. I'm happy we're gonna get to see him at the Euro this summer.
He tweeted God is back, and he triggered a lot of people.
You gotta love the religious freaks who just hate. I mean, you got the Jews who can't even spell the name God. You've got the Muslims who can't even draw. You have the Muslims who can't even draw a picture of God or of the Prophet.
But I wasn't even going there. I was going.
And you've got Christians with their blasphemy fucking snowflake.
No, but it was football fans. I didn't really see anything religious, to be honest with you. I saw football fans are just triggered about like how cocky he is.
I would argue that football fans are even worse than devout people of any faith. But yeah, gotta love the Swedish coach just totally bending to public pressure to bring him back. Like he had a statement, I think, talking
great
about
timing. I've just been injury ridden in a team that's losing form, and
he'll be at the Euro barring injury. Hopefully he'll be there. I'd fucking love that. But yeah, their coach, whose name is evading me, I don't know if it's Anderson, came out
very likely
to be fair. if I'm wrong, I probably wasn't that far off, but
someone on staff.
How funny would it be if his name was like Tavali Rudzari? I love we just assume perfect. That everyone in Sweden has his name like Anderson or like Larson. when the Swede who we know best on this podcast is Nima, and the Swede who's had the most success for their national team is Zlatan. But yeah, I love how he just came out and said, "We're very excited to have him back. It's tremendous." Meanwhile, Zlatan's probably like standing outside the frame with a gun to his head, like telling him what to say. The guy's probably being held hostage right now. I swear to God, the Swedish FA probably pressured him into doing it. Yeah, he was under no obligation to take him. They made the World Cup without him, but I digress. Gents, good old fashioned pod. No segments, just pure talk. Had a little debate in there, had a little argument. You called me a fool at one point, which is a nice little throwback to when you used to berate me on the pod a little bit more. You used to call me a clown. Fool's a new one.
Still do.
Yeah, fool's a tough look. Nobody should. Don't call any.
You're a fool, man. Sorry.
You call people a fool when you're trying to be facetious. No, you fool. What the fuck? Who are you? All right, listeners, get at us on all platforms on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Calcio Podcast. Our Instagram page is fucking popping, man. We're gonna keep posting memes and shit. We would love it if you could follow us there. You could like our Facebook page. It is The Calcio Podcast. Our TikTok is at Calcio Podcast as well. We're still waiting to go viral on TikTok a second time. We don't post often, but we have a very good viral to post ratio right now that we're trying to maintain. So yeah, maybe should we refer people to our YouTube channel that has one video on it, since we have that video in the pipeline now that we want to
pump it up.
Honestly, we're not gonna release it on YouTube. YouTube is dead. We would have to release it as a fucking Insta video or something. If we ever do that, it'd be unreal. Listeners, thanks for tuning in to this 118th episode. Gentiletti, anything you want to say before we wrap, my guy?
Oh, sir. Good episode.
Listeners, till next time.
Ciao.
Ciao. È per te che oggi non c'ero, non è questione di Bibbia o Vangelo, non è questione di sale e di sodio, amore e odio fanno 0-0. Se mi vedi per la strada tu suona, spiagge di sabbia, montagne di droga, brutte facce dentro una bella zona non faranno una bella cosa. Dolore che naviga, lo vorrei vendere, non vorrei vendere l'anima, ti vorrei vedere, non vorrei vedere l'aldilà. Quando c'è chi sa, quando c'è chi fa, quando c'è chi blatera, io resto di qua, non vado al di là, sono il big compare, ma non si perde mai, non si perde mai, o si vince o pareggia. Chi lo sa chi c'è, chi lo sa chi c'è, che ci guarda in cielo, fra soldi nel cielo fan. Prima avevo 100 fan, mo 100 più 100, mo 100 più 100, mo 100 più 100, fra. Sono qui insieme a te, ma non io altrove, come dire sopra
sat mano d'attore. Luci su di me come un riflettore. Non tornerò mai.